Tonight we are going to finish the Psalms of Ascent. The Psalms of Ascent are 15 psalms, short for the most part, Psalms 120 through 134. They're also known as Songs of Degrees, Pilgrim Psalms, or Psalms of Steps. There's a lot of supposition, just to let me remind you, about these psalms. About how they came about and why they're called Psalms of Ascent. Many think that they came from the Jews when they came out of Babylon, that they sang the songs as they marched, as they walked, as they ascended up to Jerusalem. Now, some say that the priest, they sang them as they ascended the steps of the temple. Others say that the psalms build upon one another, so they are psalms of ascent. Others say the musical score comes to a crescendo, so it's psalms of ascent. Others say that the pilgrims sung them as they went to Jerusalem for the three feasts, for Passover and Pentecost and Tabernacles. We don't know for sure. My guess is this. They came out of Babylon, and then they were used as people went to celebrate the three feasts, and they became traditional songs. That's kind of my guess, but your guess is just as good, I'm sure. That was a caveat, by the way. We were trying to get caveat used today, so I already. So we're going to start with Psalm 128. Hey. 23 more psalms. That's all. 23. After tonight, 17. Okay? Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine. I just think that's a funny thing to say, isn't it? You know that? I don't get any points. Baby, you are a fruitful vine. I don't know. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion. And may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Psalm full of hope and promise, right? Blessed, happy are those who fear the Lord and walk in his ways. Now, who doesn't want to have a happy life? Each year, thousands of books are written just for you so that you can have a happy life. $19.99, hardcover. $6.99 in paperback for your best life now. Here's the secret. Here's the secret to a happy life. Save the $19.99 or the $6.99. Save your money. The secret is this. Fear the Lord and walk in his ways. That's it. You fear the Lord. You follow him. Lord, this is right in your eyes. Therefore, I'm going to do it. He's going to bless your life. Now, the psalmist gives us benefits from following the Lord. It's awesome. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. But as I look at it, and as I was looking at it, I went, wait a minute here. What about those that aren't seeing the reality of this? Look at the promises here. Those who trust in the Lord shall eat from the labor of their hands. They'll have a good job. They'll have provision. They'll have what they need. Their wife will be like a fruitful vine. Their children like olive plants. We'll get to that. How many people are loving the Lord, serving Him, walking in His ways, but not experiencing the blessings that the psalmist is speaking of here? Do you ever find yourself? You're reading God's word and you, Lord, I'm struggling here because I'm reading this and this is, I'm following you, I'm trusting you, I'm living my life for you, but this isn't the reality that I'm experiencing. What about those that are trusting in the Lord and they get laid off? The man or woman who's trusting in the Lord and serving the Lord and their spouse leaves. That's not quite a fruitful vine. That's maybe a wandering vine, a creeping vine. What about those who love the Lord, fear the Lord, serve the Lord, and their children don't? Does that happen? Come on, real life. Yes. Yes. All the time. It doesn't make you less of a saint. Those things happen. However, it doesn't take away from God's desire for your life. Do you understand? As we're reading, what we see is God's desire in the family to be serving Him, the family to be loving Him, the husband, the wife together with the Lord, the children following the Lord. Look, God loves us, and that is His desire for us. But you know what? He doesn't violate other people's free will for your happiness. That's tough, isn't it? No, God violate their free will. Make them follow you. Don't you want to say that? Joshua said, choose ye this day who you will serve. Isn't that the truth? Each day, who are you going to serve? I make a choice who I'm going to serve, but I can't make that choice for my wife or my children. God's desire is to bless you. His desire is to bless your spouse, to bless your children, but they have to choose Him also, don't they? And it's wonderful when the family has chosen that. And it's hard, and it hurts when the family doesn't choose that. But don't give up. Keep praying. I'm going to bore you forever with Jenny. 13 years. 13 years. I waited. In those years of waiting, I saw nothing. Oh, I did see stuff. I saw her going from bad to worse. No fruit. But God is faithful. God is faithful. A child who wasn't fruitful is now like what the psalmist is speaking of, an olive plant, providing fruit for her father's house, blessing her father's house. She calls up, "Dad, I need some counsel." Whoa, biblical? Yeah. What other kind is there? Got me. Bad? Would that be the other answer? Biblical counsel or bad counsel? Look, when I grew up in California, when I was 8 years old, we moved to a house in Hacienda Heights, California, and it was a new subdivision, and we moved in, and there was dirt. There was nothing. And my parents, they had it landscaped, and they planted an olive tree. And that olive tree was there for a long, long time. My mom finally sold her house. But that olive tree was there for a long time. When I was 19, I left California and I went to Alaska. A couple years later, I came back. The whole time I lived there, this olive tree never produced any fruit. I went to Alaska and I came back and there were these purple olives just all over the yard and it is a mess. It's like, when did that start happening? You know, I was kind of out of it my high school years, but there weren't olives. There was no fruit. Olive trees take a long time to produce fruit. In on the Mount of Olives, they have olive trees that are thousands of years old. And they're all gnarled and twisted and knotty. Knotty. K-N-O-T-T-Y. But you know what? Children get a little gnarly, don't they? They get a little twisted sometimes. And they get a little naughty. But we got to wait. We got to wait, not give up, and wait for the fruit. Look. Their choice doesn't take away from God's faithfulness. God is still faithful. You just wait. Amy's parents, her mom, all of their children right now are following the Lord. It hasn't always been that way. They waited many, many, many years. Ended up with their children making some bad choices, marrying some bums. Not me. I'm my father-in-law's favorite son-in-law. We've got to wait on the Lord to see the fruit. Yeah, I'm the only son-in-law. Yeah. Of course. We wait on the Lord to see the fruit. I'm still waiting on verse 6 to see my children's children. I haven't seen it yet. I'm waiting on it. waiting for the fruit in its season. In its season, okay? And while I'm waiting, I'm still fulfilled in Christ. I'm happy, I'm blessed. Psalm 129. Many a time they have afflicted me from my youth. Let Israel now say, many a time they have afflicted me from my youth. Yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed my back. They made their furrows long. The Lord is righteous. He has cut in pieces the cords of the wicked. Let all those who hate Zion be put to shame and turned back. Let them be as the grass on the housetop, which withers before it grows up, which with the reaper does not fill his hand, nor he who binds sheaves his arms. Neither let those who pass by them say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. Israel has been afflicted like no other nation. Satanic attack to destroy them. Why? Because the blessing of God comes from Israel. The Messiah, salvation, the promise from Israel. Pharaoh tried to kill off the Jews by drowning the baby boys. His army ended up getting drowned. The Syrians tried to starve them out. The angel of the Lord killed 185,000 in one night. Old Nebuchadnezzar, he defeated them and drug them to Babylon. But the Lord sent Cyrus to deliver him. Great story there. Spoken of before he was even born. Hitler tried to wipe them out, killing 6 million Jews. But the Lord brought them back from that to the homeland, to Palestine. The plowers plowed on their backs. They made their furrows long. But the Lord is righteous. He has cut in pieces the cords of the wicked. You see the picture? One of slavery. Being used like a beast of burden, like an ox tied to a plow. The plower with the whip, whipping the back, driving the animal forward. But the Lord cut in pieces the cords of the wicked. As I was going through this, it was like, man, that is a great picture of salvation, isn't it? We, like dumb beast, tied up, bound to sin. Satan, the taskmaster, driving us to hell. Us being able to get away. But Jesus came to set us free. He cut in pieces the cords of the wicked. He took our place. And in taking our place, his back was plowed. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. The Lord is righteous. He's put to shame all those who turn back, all those who hate Zion. They're like the grass on the housetops, which withers before it grows up. You ever see sod on a roof? And Saudi Daisy, do they have them? Well, there you go. Up in Alaska, they had houses, old, in the woods with sod on them. Look, he's put to shame those that have fought against him. The Egyptians, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Romans, the Nazis. They've all fallen. They've all turned back. They've never been able to destroy Israel. And they'll never be able to. I mean, right, we know it's a satanic attack, and right now we're living in a time of history that anti-Semitism, man, it is cranking up. It is heating up. It's becoming more and more evident. But they'll never defeat them because the blessing comes from Israel. The blessing of the Lord is upon us. It's from Israel that we are blessed in the name of the Lord because of Jesus, because of Messiah. Psalm 130. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. We don't exactly know who wrote the psalm, how it became a psalm of ascent. We see the psalmist crying out to the Lord from the depths of despair. Out of the depths I have cried to you. O Lord, Lord, hear my voice. Then he speaks of his confident expectation. He's expecting the Lord is going to deliver him. It's another great psalm of salvation. It reminds me of my salvation. I was humbled by the depth of my sin. Weren't you? Did you come to that point that your sins overwhelmed you? Oh my! I was saying, oh my God. Oh my God. I'm dead. I'm done for. My sin was before me. I was toast. Lord, oh no. If you mark my iniquities, if you keep track of sin, oh, I'm done for. Who can stand before you? Oh no, I'm going to hell. So I cried out, seeking mercy, asking him to forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. I'm a sinner. I had heard that Jesus loved me. I'd heard it before. I'd heard the gospel. That he came and he died in my place. I heard that he would forgive sin. I heard there was forgiveness with him. And so I cried. And I waited. I don't know how it was for you, Did you know right away? I did. I wasn't sure. I cried out. How do I know whether he's going to forgive me? I was hopeful. My soul, it waited for the Lord. The psalmist says, my soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning in the midst of darkness, knowing I'm in the dark. Have you ever been in a dark place before? You ever been out in the woods alone at night? Alone. Of course you have. Where you might be eaten by a bear. Take me home, O Mother, Father. Yeah, I've been in the woods by myself at night. And I could hear stuff out there. Okay. I'm sure it's not a bear. Oh my gosh, what if it is a bear? The only thing between me and that bear is this thin fabric of tent. Oh my. Oh my. Get the flashlight. No, don't turn on the light. He'll see you. In the dark, waiting for it to be light. Okay? It can be terrifying. Having sin, knowing that your sins will send you to hell eternally. Hearing stuff about Jesus, with him is mercy, with him is forgiveness, but not really knowing. Praying, asking, not really sure. But then, having a peace. Believing. Wait. You said, if I trusted in you, I would not perish, but I'd have everlasting life. Believing. Placing your faith, your trust. For with the Lord, there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption, and he shall redeem you from all your iniquities. Oh, I had a bunch. Redemption, it speaks of the slave being purchased. A slave to sin, unable to set yourself free, but Jesus came to set us free. And with him is abundant redemption. How much is abundant? Well, how much do you need? A lot? Okay, well, that's abundant then. Enough to redeem from all your iniquities. Well, how many iniquities do you have? A lot? Well, he's able to redeem you from all your iniquities. Even a sinner like me, lost in the dark, waiting for a new day. Isn't that what we get with the Lord? Not only a new day, but a whole life in the light. Psalm 131. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. I don't know if you were here after Katrina. I know Vince was. It was good, wasn't it? Brother Lonnie. You remember Lonnie Trujillo? Anyone? Just me and Vince. Sweet Zhang. He brought this message of hope here to us after Katrina. And man, this is little three verses. Powerful, mighty. Look, there's many things we don't understand in this life, right? Who has all the answers? Come on, raise your hand because we want to mark you. Yeah, they're all in the youth room. All the answers are in the youth room. They're young olive trees, okay? When you start producing fruit, you start losing all the answers. After Katrina, man, we had questions. Why did this happen? Why did this person lose everything? Why didn't that person? Why was this person hurt? That person's okay. We go through life and things happen. And why did you get cancer and I didn't? Why do babies sometimes die? Why do sons and daughters die before their parents? Why did your friend die in that car accident? Man, we have lots of questions, don't we? And to a lot of the questions, I don't have any answers. I don't know why. God knows. He knows he has a plan. His plan is perfect. The angels, day after day, cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Righteous and true are all your ways." But we want to ask why. Don't know. I don't know. I hate when people come and say, "I have a question." I give them a caveat before I answer. I don't have all the answers. I don't know. My heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. I don't have the answers. I don't know. I'll give you some thoughts, but I was telling Paige, I think it was Will Rogers that said, "It's not the things of the Bible that I don't understand that scare me. It's the things I do understand." Paige asked me a question. I said, "Well, before you start, let me just tell you, I'm still working on honoring my mother and loving my neighbor. I don't have the answers. I've given up trying to figure it all out. I'm an engineer. I just quit engineering, you know. Got my slide rule, got my calculator. Let me figure that out." won't figure it out. But what do you do? Well, what do you do when you want some answers and there aren't any answers? You don't know what the answer is. Psalmist says, surely I've calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. Hey, what's a weaned child? One that no longer breastfeeds, right? You can say breastfeed in church. It's okay. Okay? Right? What did the child find? Nourishment? Comfort. The weaned child. Oh, what do you think the weaned child wanted when things weren't going right? Latched onto mama's breast. Right? Running, screaming, and crying. Right? Back to mama's arms. Man, that's good. That's good. In the arms of the Lord, we find comfort. We find strength. We find nourishment. We find protection. We find everything the weaned child is looking for. Man, it's hard to grow up. It's hard to grow up. Face the realities of life. We want to run. Screaming, crying. Go ahead. Just run into the arms of the Lord. Hope in the Lord. From this time forth and forever. Psalm 132. A long one. 18 verses. Lord, remember David in all his afflictions, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the mighty one of Jacob. Surely I will not go into the chamber of my house or go up to the comfort of my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the mighty one of Jacob. Remember David? He wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. Do you remember? He tried and old Uzzah. Oh, he reached out, touched the Ark, got fried. You remember? And then he got it right and brought it back the way it was supposed to be brought back. And the ark was there in Jerusalem. It was in a tent. And David was still not satisfied. He said, no, this will never do. And he told Nathan, he said, look, I want to build a house for the Lord. I'm living in a palace. And the Lord, he's in that old dusty tent. I want to build him a house. And Nathan told him, you know, go. Do what's in your heart. But after this, the Lord spoke to Nathan and said, You go tell David, he can't build me a house. He's a man of war. He has blood on his hands. But you tell my servant David, I'll build you a house. So David couldn't build the house for the Lord. But you know what David did? He drew the plans. He got all the wood, the gold, the silver, the bronze, down to the brass tacks. You heard that expression? Okay, that's where it comes from. David got all the stuff ready for Solomon. He took care of all the preparations to build the house. Verse 6, behold, we heard of it in, Epaphras. It's a hard word. Yeah, a path, whatever. We found it in the fields of the woods. Let us go into his tabernacle. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy. For your servant David's sake, do not turn away the face of your anointed. The Lord has sworn in truth to David, he will not turn from it. I will set upon your throne the fruit of your body. If your sons will keep my covenant and my testimony, which I shall teach him, their sons shall sit upon your throne forever. In 1 Chronicles, the Lord spoke to David through Nathan. And when he told him that his sons would sit upon the throne, he told him that would be forever. The son of David, the anointed one that the psalmist speaks about, is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the one who sits upon the throne forever and ever. The psalmist writes, "For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There I will make the horn of David grow. I will prepare a lamp for my anointed. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but upon himself his crown shall flourish." The Lord chose David, David's descendants. The Messiah came from David. The Lord chose Jerusalem, Zion, as the place that he would reign from. He'll return to Jerusalem. He'll rule and reign from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. His enemies will bow down before him, and he'll sit upon his throne in all his glory, in all his majesty. You don't want to miss it. Psalm 133. This was written by David. "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore." Oh, how good it is and wonderful for brothers to dwell in unity. She's laughing. Don't do it. It's such a great song. Do you know the song? You do. It is a good song, isn't it? I want to, but we don't have time, so you know. "How good it is and wonderful for brothers to dwell together in unity, to dwell in unity. Na 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 na." Okay? I did. And now you are. Man, I'm digging it with tambourines and... We don't have to have long skirts. I've never sung it wearing a long skirt. I swear. Really. Look, it's good. Look, David was king of Judah. The 12 tribes had been split up. He was king of Judah, but Saul was king of Israel. When Saul died, David became king of Judah, but Saul's family still ruled. And there was division between the tribes. They weren't dwelling together in unity. For 7.5 years after David became king, there was problems. There was war. And then David was anointed king, not over only just Judah, but all of Israel. And the brothers were dwelling together. He describes it. He says, it's like the oil coming down the head of Aaron, off his beard. Can you see a Jewish patriarch with the big beard, the big hair, the oil coming down, running down the beard, getting on the garments, dripping all the way down, coming off? That's a lot of oil. That's like being bathed in oil, like being immersed in oil. You know, oil, it's the symbol of the Holy Spirit. Y'all know that, right? The picture is being immersed in the Holy Spirit, being knit together in love through the Spirit. Man, it is good when we are knit together that way. It's awesome when we come together and we have fellowship and we're just hanging out together, enjoying each other. Do you like that? I like that. Do you? Yes. Is it? No, I think you do. I decided you do, okay? Because I think God likes it. And I saw what God doesn't like last night. That's when brothers aren't together in unity. Where did I see that? I have two boys. We were home alone. Mom wasn't there. It's time to abuse Dad and each other. We went out to Fairhope, and I got to teach there, and it was cool. And then we went down to Foley, and we stayed in a hotel. And the boys, you know, they were out there, and they were in the swimming pool and playing, and it was great. Brothers dwelling together in unity, going to the beach and hanging out and laughing, having fun. They'll do that. They'll wrestle around and play and get along. And it, you know what? It's wonderful. It's wonderful when brothers dwell together in unity. But you know what? They will fight. They will fight. I can run faster than you. No, you can't. Yes, I can. No, I like ice cream more than you. I can eat more than you. It's like, what is this? He's looking at me. He's looking at me. He's looking at me. It drives me insane. Last night, it drove me to this point. Shut up! Shut up! Don't talk to me! Don't talk to each other! I can't take it anymore! No, it's true. No, it's really true. Yeah! Yeah, yeah. Then check it out. What does the church do? Oh, no, let's not talk. Let's talk about your kids. It's more entertaining. Let's not talk about the church. No, the church gets along so well together. They sing hymns. Hymns! We're PhDs! Piled high and deep. Okay. They sing choruses. Contemptuous Christian music. We bicker about little tiny things. They're looking at me. Oh, whether we ought to have membership or not. Man, if we resolved that, the world would be at peace. Don't tell the Nobel Committee, okay, because they might send me one. Okay, just saying. It's good. When brothers live together with unity, it's terrible when we don't. When we're fussing over little trivial things. Who can eat the most ice cream? Who can run the fastest? Who cares? Who sings what? Who cares? Love the Lord. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. On Mount Hermon, about 10,000 feet above sea level, it's snow-capped. Mount Hermon provides the water for the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee provides the water for the rest of Israel. The snow on Mount Hermon, very important. It's cold, right? Snow is cold. You knew that already? Sea of Galilee, it's very temperate, warm. Cold air, warm air, they hit, they produce wind. It also produces fog. The dew from the fog in Mount Hermon, it comes down so heavy, it drenches you. It's like rain, they say. I don't know. We didn't see. It was nice and clear while we were there. But that fog, that dew, it just permeates you. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit does, just like the oil on the head of Aaron. The Holy Spirit, we're just drenched, we're permeated. And David says, look, them living together in harmony. The tribe of Judah down here, the rest of Israel up north, at Tabor, and we're coming together. It's like the dew coming down from Tabor here to Jerusalem on Mount Zion. We're blessed. Now he says this. He says, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. I'm not really sure what he means. But I know this. It was right there in Zion, in Jerusalem, that the blessing of life forevermore came. Because it's outside the gates of the city that the Lord Jesus went to the cross and died for our sins. Psalm 134. Oh, quickly. Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord who made heaven and earth. Bless you from Zion. The command is to bless the Lord. All you servants of the Lord who by night stand in the house of the Lord. You know, the temple was open 24/7. It was open. They had people in there all night serving the Lord. Why? God of Israel neither sleeps nor slumbers. He's there. He's watching over. He's taking care. And they were there serving the Lord. They were keeping the lamps lit, keeping the oil in the lamps, trimming the wicks, incense in the altar of incense before the veil. Not only that, David had worshipers there, singers there, 24 hours a day. They sang to the Lord. You go to the temple, they were always there. There was always people there who was serving the Lord, who was worshiping the Lord. They're alone in the sanctuary at night. Oh, man, lifting up their hands and just worshiping the Lord and blessing Him. Not asking, oh, bless us, bless us. No, bless you, Lord. Thank you. We serve you. Awesome. Let's pray. Father, we come and we thank you for your word, for the Psalms. Lord, for the Psalms of Ascent. Lord, we pray that your praise would be upon our lips continuously. This, as we rise up, as we ascend to praise you, Lord. Lord, we thank you. We bless you, Lord. We thank you with all our heart. Lord, we want to give you ourselves that we would serve you night and day, in season and out, that would be continuously serving you, honoring you with the fruit of our lips, with holy hands. In your name, Jesus, amen.